The 1997 Sunstone Symposium presents session number 334, Momo, the Underbelly of the Sacred, by Alex Caldiero.
Thank you for being here. Maybe we should just start, and let me just start by reading the complete version of the abstract. There is something subterranean happening in Utah. It's not a movement. It has no leaders or founders or manifestos. It is a series of sporadic manifestations surfacing now at an exhibition, now at a poetry reading or performance, now as part of some civic, church, or children's program, now at a cinema or bar. Wherever and whatever it is, it never is in its own right. It is subtle, but only until you see it. Then it's blatant and bold and outrageous. It knows no boundaries. It respects no creeds or private agendas. It has a life of its own, and at the same time is part of the life of the people who give into it and let it work and play in them and even transform them. It has had various names at various times. Now it is Momo. Momo is a word with a motley past and always an uncertain present and an unpredictable future. The word comes from Momus, the Greek god of ridicule. In the Sicilian language, Momo, as well as in Marseille slang, Momo, it means idiot or screwball. As such, it denotes a relationship between the ridiculous and the sacred. It would have jester and priest be the same person or close associates, and the trickster as dispenser of wisdom. The word wisdom itself hides just beneath its surface this very dichotomy. Wise, dumb. There are many incarnations of Momo in multifarious contexts. These include carnivals, Holy Week celebrations, temple rites, circuses, mummeries, dada, pataphysics, duende, abstraction, soul, anarchy, and folklore. For some people in Utah, the word Momo has an added meaning as a term of derision for a member of the Mormon Church. The very use of this word to mock individuals of a religious group is in keeping with the spirit of Momo, and so becomes another encounter of the ineffable with the laughable. Though in respectable circles, we try to clean up our act and are mostly ashamed of the basic, base connection between our cherished beliefs and our foibles, there they are, the Momos, singing, painting, dancing, creating images and sounds that leave us vulnerable and at the same time stronger than ever before. This presentation would bring together artists with nothing in common but an inner humor, a certain secretion that flows through their work and would transport both artist and audience to that pivotal place in the between. There, the sacred is ridiculous, and the ridiculous is sacred. There, nothing wins out, no religious, political, or artistic dogma, but the laughter and ruckus that is a prayer and a song. This is, in essence, true religious art, religio, the link to origins, viscera, blood, slime, the unsullied lamb, and infant joy.
like this is okay? I feel like a caged animal now. Thanks, eh? We'll be sampling various examples of what I have been speaking about. And the first sample is a film by Mike Cassidy, The Attack of the Giant... The Attack of the Giant Brine Shrimp. I don't know whether you know this film. It's an incredible film. This is basically at the highlight of the film, the real clincher. And so let's proceed with that. Could you just play that?
Thank you.
Yeah, I think that speaks for itself. That's one of the beauties of Momo, is that it all speaks for itself. I'd like to pass some things around. Probably the grand mecca of Momo is Gilgal Park. And I would just like to pass this around. And if you have not been there, please pay your visit and respect. Bishop Child, again, this is imperfect sync with the idea of a holy man engaged in rather interesting activities. Bishop Child built this enormous installation between 1945 and 1960 when he died. And it's next to the Wonder Bread Factory down on Fifth East, I think. Isn't it Fifth East? So, yeah, so please bring some flowers. You know, I think it would be, it's an incredible place. Set Z, I am Zephyr. You are zero, said the Lord. Said Y, I am youth. You are yoked, said the Lord. Said X, I am X. You are X, said the Lord. Said W, I am wonder. You are withered, said the Lord. Said V, I am victory. You are vanquished, said the Lord. Said U, I am ultimate. You are under, said the Lord. Said T, I am towering. You are tiny, said the Lord. Said S, I am selected. You are slime, said the Lord. Said R, I am right. You are wrong, said the Lord. Said Q, I am quick. You are quits, said the Lord. Said P, I am pure. You are putrid, said the Lord. Said O, I am on. You are off, said the Lord. Said N, I am necessary. You are nothing, said the Lord. Said M, I am man. You are monster, said the Lord. Said L, I am light. You are lie, said the Lord. Said K, I am kind. You are kill, said the Lord. Said J, I am gem. You are junk, said the Lord. Said I am intelligent. You are inane, said the Lord. Said H, I am heaven. You are hell, said the Lord. Said G, I am great. You are grime, said the Lord. Said F, I am friend. You are fiend, said the Lord. Said E, I am excellent. You are excrement, said the Lord. Said D, I am daybreak. You are doom, said the Lord. Said C, I am called. You are cancelled, said the Lord. Each letter said, create with me. Use my sound to make earth and sky. Utter me first, each letter said. But the Lord turned from Z to C, pronounced each one evil and good, and chose to start with none of them. He chose instead, the letter B, because it had been so silent and had not asked to be chosen. When called, the letter B first said, before me, there's one more worthy. But the Lord said, it's decided. You shall be my beginning word. Yet, that all should remain in place, the A shall be first in order. All my life, I've wanted to write with both hands at the same time.
As I'm thinking this, a friend comes to visit. She broke her right arm decorating a tree, but says she can now do twice as much with one hand, her left, than she ever did with two. She's right-handed. All my life, I've wanted new ways of doing and feeling alive. Yet, stories turn out exactly how we wish in our deepest heart. There are no exceptions but what is missing when you look out of your own eyes. I get so lost. How I find my way to any lighted spot is a mystery to me. A collection of habits is what I am. I have to admit, I thought I was more, but that's just a thought in the head. Instead, what I am really is a collection of habits, is what I am. I have to admit, I thought I was more, but that's just a thought in the head. Instead, what I am really is not what I thought, but that's a thought too. In the head, anything can happen, even happiness. Thinking without having to know that a collection of habits is what I am. I have to admit, I thought I was more, but that's just a thought in the head. Instead, what I am really is not what I thought, but that's a thought too. In the head, anything can happen, even happiness. Thinking without having to know that for you to open on the table the knife, cold, lit in my head, another thought worth having, even if for an instant it is not what I thought, but that's a thought too. In the head, anything can happen, even happiness. Thinking without having to know that for you to open on the table the knife, cold, lit in my head, another thought worth having, even if for an instant it won't let you just say and see. This poem is dedicated to a teacher of mine, name of Shno, the shaman cowboy. Always had a cup of coffee for breakfast and a hamburger and fries for lunch. He smoked one cigarette after another, rolling each one in his fingers before lighting up. His drawl was unmistakable when he spoke, and he moseyed when he walked. He said he had been Jesus, Empedocles, and Walt Whitman in previous lives. Once he described how as Empedocles, he went up and leaped into Mount Etna. As he spoke, the temperature in the room got so hot and his face so ruddy that I could not take it and had to ask him to cut short his story. Other times, if I commented on what a beautiful day it was or how wonderful the sky looked, he'd respond with, "Thank you," as if I had complimented his handiwork. He taught me how to see through my fingertips and how to break up clouds with my mind, a game I still play now and then. One day, he announced that the chemical composition of his blood was changing and that once the transformation was complete, he would never die. Then he gave away his only possessions and took off for the holy grounds of Hawaii. From time to time, I write about him to keep his memory alive and to say to him, wherever he may be, that he's part of my life. Funerary instructions. 1. I came in naked. Let me go naked. 2. Wash me like a baby. 3. It should be a simple rectangular box. 4. Leave the eyes alone. 5. Breathe on the face so I can hold fast to the wind. 6. Play when I was a boy, I dug a hole, got in, and lay very still. 7. Imagine the beating of earth upon wood is yet another heart.
Thank you. I sit in the stand with Marie Osmond. Both our sons are in the same little league team. I overhear her saying goodbye to some ladies. It's so nice to meet my neighbors. It's been real. I think of the time I heard her reading a Dada poem by Hugo Ball on TV, which she actually did. Seriously. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. If you ask me how I feel, if you want me to say a word, I don't know why. I don't know why. It seems I should. It seems I could. But when you ask me, if you ask me, I only answer, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. And we have some incredible painters in this state and artists. And that's the most incredible thing about this Momo thing, is that it makes itself manifest. Let me just start passing these around. It makes itself manifest in every area of the arts, from film to radio to dance to painting, to poetry, to theater. And I think that's one of the... there's a lot of overlapping. You know. Now, as we're entering the mainstream, that's what's happening in general. We're entering the mainstream so that the thought could even occur to us to, for instance, what are we going to do with this Gilgal place? You know, maybe, I mean, that's very valuable land. You know, we got to build a couple of condos there. You know, we begin to actually consider the possibility, the reality of getting rid of something like that. See, we're entering the mainstream. There's safety in the mainstream. There really is. It's a great thing, especially for people who have had a hard time. The mainstream is a very, very attractive place. There's safety. There's success. There's money to be made in the mainstream. These are good things. These are not bad things. You know, the mainstream in and of itself is a good thing. But you know, I prefer the little rivulets. You know what I mean? In the backwoods. And so do these people that I'm presenting today. And that's what Momo is about, is those little rivulets, those little backstreams that for the most part flow underground and only now and then surface here and there, you know, from time to time. In Zurich, 1916, Dada, you know, or in some cave in the Anastasis down south, you know, where the priest was the head troublemaker. You know, we don't like trouble. You know what I mean? I personally think, and I'm not trying to be funny, that I yearn for less tolerance, that I yearn for more persecution. There's not enough people being excommunicated. There really are not. There really are not. There should be at least, 50, 60 times more excommunications than there are. You know, we have become so tolerant. You know, the church, for instance, is just so tolerant, so open-hearted, so open-minded. You know, it just allows everything. You know, I yearn for a time when there were rumors going around that the Mormons had horns. I yearn for a time when there were rumors going around about incredible sex orgies. Boy, we better stay out of Salt Lake City. It's a dangerous place. I yearn for times when the President of the United States wouldn't dare set foot in this land. I yearn for those times. See, but we've become so tolerant, so open-minded, so open-hearted. We extend the hand of friendship to anybody that comes along. Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? You know, Bush comes around, and Reagan comes around, and Jimmy comes around, and everybody is just pals. Everybody is just so happy, and everything is just so wonderful here. I yearn for the time when this was a dangerous place, when they murdered people and slit their throats. You see, I yearn for that time. I miss that time. I wish for that time to return. Oh, restoration, where are you? You know what I mean? I yearn for the danger that used to be. Boy, we don't want to go there. Oh, those Mormons are crazy people. Oh, there's... Now we're on TV! I don't understand this. But these are good things that are happening. You see? These are good things. Now, let's pass on to another... there is a Momo that lives in Glenwood, southern Utah. Job Matuso. He was involved in some, McCarthyism, you know, playing on both sides of the fence, you know. First he was with McCarthy, said he was a communist, and then he turned himself in. He's an incredible guy because he's a Momo. Yeah, and he joined the church around 1958 in Washington, D.C., where President Benson was hated. Whoa, you know, President Benson, and I think there was about a handful of Mormons in Washington around in the late 50s, and they were all hated. Oh, how I yearn for that. Seriously, they were despised. They were despised, the 304 that were there. You know, they were totally, and Job has told me about that time. Anyway, he finally has moved to Glenwood about 3 years ago and now runs a children's nonviolent television program. And he is a clown called Cockyboo. And he's also a high priest. And he is a clown. And he's a high priest who wears a yarmulke. See? Because he was Jewish. And still is Jewish. He's a Jew who believes in Christ. See, and a lot of people down there, they can't see these kind of, you know, oh, a Jew that believes in Christ. What's that? That's a Momo. Yeah, and he does these clown things, and he attends priesthood. What's that? That's Momo. Yeah. Yeah, see, Momo does not wish to, you know, the dichotomy that we live with, as opposed to a dualism that we live with. See, dichotomies are wonderful. They make us complete. It's dualism, the dueling. You know, where one wants to overcome the other that the problems come in. But dichotomies are wonderful. The coexistence in each one of us, see, of the clown and the priest or priestess is a wonderful thing. It's the way we were created, you know, from the very beginning. And let me show you. This is the Dalai Lama, yeah, from Tibet, came to visit. You know, and it was wonderful to see the children come around. And he broadcasts about 7 hours of television a day for children and housewives, I guess. You know, he does these mandala kind of things, you know, for meditation. And this is Job Matuso. Magic Mouse Magazine. There he is.
Welcome to Angel Women, Magic Mouse Time. Elwood, you brought your cousin with you today?
Yeah, I brought Jerry, my cousin. He's my favorite cousin.
Your cousin Jerry? Hi, Jerry.
Hi there, Cockyboo.
Jerry, you come to visit with us on this special day?
Yes, I have.
Do you know what this special day is?
Ellen,
tell us who's coming.
The Dalai Lama is coming.
The Dalai Lama?
Yeah. Who's the Dalai Lama?
He doesn't know who the Dalai Lama is.
Who's the Dalai Lama?
Well, the Dalai Lama is the leader of a country called Tibet.
Ooh.
It's the highest country in the whole world.
Wow.
And way back in 1959, a country called China said, we want to take over Tibet, and they moved their armies into this country where people didn't believe in war. Mm-hmm. And since 1959, they've taken over Tibet, and they create a lot of pain for the Tibetan people. So the Dalai Lama had to go and live somewhere else, and he lives in India. But he's coming today to visit us in Angelville.
Oh, that's great. I'm looking forward to that.
Me too, me too.
And maybe we can learn something about his country.
Yeah.
And maybe we can find a way where the children of America can help Tibetan children be free.
Thanks for that.
Oh, that would be great.
Should we talk about that later?
Yes.
In the meantime, Sharon and Kim have found a song from Tibet, which they're going to start singing. And when...
Okay, and after that, there's the Dalai Lama comes out, and Joe plays some bells that he's made, and that is archetypal Momo. Let me tell you right now. You know, absolutely. It's okay. It's all right. Just sit, please. Eating bread and wine is noble. Eating bread and cheese is comical. Eating bread and grapes is sensuous. Eating bread and sauce is colorful. Eating bread and apples is chic. Eating bread and nuts is noisy. Eating bread and oranges is resourceful. Eating bread by itself is most ancient. The absurdities of truth. Some people say that in paradise we'll toil and sweat. Some people say that in paradise we'll play and sing. But I say paradise is full of doors, and everybody's continually coming and going. Just coming and going. What? You don't believe me? Like an artichoke. Heart. Your heart. Uncovered at last. Unexpectedly passing by a mirror or sitting in my underwear. Some gesture I make changes my face into my father's. I sense his loneliness and his love-lost life and the woman whose embrace was not enough to call home. I'm reliving parts of his life at random. He, parts of his father's. Fragments and figments. Still, I yearn for a flavor that only I can experience. Forgive me if I don't tell you everything. I stand beside the snake. The snake becomes part of my body. The place of the United Order, the town, it is situated 1,000, even 1,000,000 miles inside me. It is situated 1,000, even 1,000,000 miles inside me. It is situated 1,000, even 1,000,000 miles inside me. Tell a child something horrible is going to happen if he goes into that room. God is going to strike him dead if he touches what he should not. The end of the world is near, so you better be good. Any threat that hits below the belt will do. So the child grows up terrified. Do we need a new mythology to explain this, or should we fall back on old Adam and Eve? I want to ask my mother for a sign, that I may know if after death she can recall my name, her name, the names of her mother and father, relatives and friends. If she can see, hear, taste, speak, listen, look about, and describe the landscape, the sky, if any, the sun, the moon, the stars, the food, the water, the wind, the trees, the birds, any animals thereabouts. I want to ask her to let me know if after death, words still sound, if sounds still mean, and songs still sing, and hands hold hands the way children do when they walk through the woods and listen as if everything could speak. I want to ask for an unmistakable sign, but it's awkward. Here's a couple more paintings. The diversity of the work that you're seeing ought to be very striking to you. That's an obligatory comment. The next work that we'll see, besides the ones that you're looking at, is a work of biblical proportion. It's a little excerpt from Plan 10 from Outer Space. Oh, there it is.
That's a good question.
Norman Talbot?
Oh, please. Whatever you do, don't listen to her. She's just so pissed off. And that woman can hold a grudge like no one else.
Who?
Bonnie Pratt, alias Nehor.
Nehor?
She was Brigham's 28th wife.
What?
He tried to keep her under wraps. And when you meet her, you'll see why. That poor bastard. Everybody thought he was so smart.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about 28 women and one man. Who do you think was in charge? His life was a pure hell.
But in your book, you said that...
She tricked me into writing that. She was so ticked at Brigham, she just wanted to bring down the whole church, even if it meant using my book.
Did Brigham know she was an alien?
I don't know. I doubt it.
So there is no Plan 10 from outer space.
Oh, there's a Plan 10, all right. And it's so horribly insidious, it makes my butt quake. Just a minute, Bob. I'll be right there. Get out of my way, you dummy!
Okay, one of the wonderful things about this work is that definitely could not have been done anywhere else.
That's true.
You see?
Although I think they could have done it in southern Chile. It's sufficiently bizarre enough.
That's right. During Mardi Gras, that whole thing. And normally what we think of local art in general is the antithesis of what I think of what is really local art. And I'm talking about these landscapes. Landscapes are wonderful. You know, I don't want to get into that. You know exactly what I'm talking about, the stuff you see all around. I think that there are some unique features to this place that will continue to be explored. What's the time? What do we got at 12:30? Yeah. That will continue to be explored. As I said, for the most part, underground, you know, but that's normal. You know, it has never been otherwise. And so while the people joining the mainstream, and now I think there's, you know, with the year 2000 coming up and the wonderful Olympics, you know, and we'll be making so much money and everything will just be incredible. Incredible. You know, when the Jazz, it was so wonderful, when the Jazz were here, remember, there was that game, who was the, and some woman said, we finally will earn the respect of the United States, of the world, you know, we'll be like everyone else, you know, isn't this incredible, this is wonderful, you know, and that's the very opposite of Momo, okay? It coexists. It's okay. You see? It's okay. It's been like that for at least 6,000 or 7,000 years. I mean, come on. This is not a new situation that we're seeing here. You know? Far from a new situation. Let me read a couple of more here. The authorities are dancing in the boardroom to the music of their own country. It's Thursday, and there's business to take care of. A cognate for truth is being sought. celestial rewards would be household terms. Television betrays their preparedness. Beyond every numeric show, each shortness of breath would foreshadow breathlessness. He didn't think it was against the law to carry a frozen calf's head in his luggage. I'm not he. I'm not the one. I come to save nobody. I have a mother and a father just like you do. I'm no messenger. I have nothing to say. This cross I carry is my own. At my death, there'll be no storm. I'm the carpenter's son. I'm not the one you are waiting for. My mother was not a virgin. My father made chairs and coffins. I learned to make a shelf or two. I'm not he. I'm not the one. I can't walk on water. And when I eat fish, I have to watch out for bones. You're mistaken. I'm not he. I'm the carpenter's son. No one, absolutely no one, can hate like a good Christian can. And when the Baptists come around, see, they're going to convert all of Mormondom. You know, did you read about that? Starting next year, they've really invested a lot of money to proselytize around this area, you see. And they're going to come around and knock on our doors and say that we are not Christian. We should say, we're not. Which we are not. We are not Christian. I'm rather proud of that fact. You know, I left that kind of Christianity with the Catholic Church. You know, and when I see us so interested in projecting ourselves as Christian, I wonder where I am. This is no time to think about growing a beard. You just got laid off, and you're in Utah, and you're a minority, and you're a little weird, and you're in a movie about a space feminist revenge, and you're so ready to sing, and you love to dance, and you like comic books, and you're 45 years old, and you don't know God personally, and you're in love with the wrong woman who is the right woman, and you're making believe, which if you got paid would be called acting, and you're dreaming of being a stand-up comedian, and you're realizing more and more how uninteresting the list of your accomplishments is, and your positive mental attitude is shot to hell, and you want to stop writing with this kind of pen because it forces you to go up and down too fast and too much. Wherever I go, as soon as I mention that I'm Sicilian, the word invariably heard is mafia. However, the next time this happens, I will not take offense. I'll confess and tell everything, that I come from a long line of mafiosi, that I've had to go into hiding several times, that I know what they mean perfectly, that I'm ashamed of myself and my past, that they are so perceptive and beg for their understanding and sympathy. I'll appeal to their sense of justice. I'll plead for their friendship and compliment their higher sense of truth. I'll agree with all they say and say how well said it is and how insightful they are. It's all over the place, I'll say, reassuring them. They are everywhere, I'll add. I myself was one for many years, and my father before me, and his father before him, all the way back to the secret guilds of the Middle Ages. I was one, but I've been converted to the good life, even though I still get the urge, the old urge to plunder and kill. I resist it and try to live a decent life like their own, which I do so admire and aspire to. I want to be just like they are, normal, good, law-abiding citizens. How about some questions and answers, or some answers and questions? What do we got, about another 15 minutes? Michael Quinn was going to be here. Unfortunately, they scheduled us back to back. He was really pissed off. He was fit to be tied. And so was I, because that's where I wanted to be. You know, so thank you for coming here.
What form does Momo take other places?
Other places? Well, for instance, yeah, this is the Zion variety. Yeah, obviously, because this is where we are. Like I said, for instance, Momo, you could see Momo in Mexico around November the 2nd on All Souls Day. Okay? You could see in the celebrations that go on. You know, you could see it down by Mardi Gras. You could see it in Sicily. It's, as I said in the introduction, it makes itself carnivals, Holy Week celebration, temple rites, circuses, mummeries, dada, pataphysics, duende, abstraction, soul, anarchy, and folklore.
Would it be in Mexico for the Virgin of Guadalupe Day when we Latinos, we're not Indian at all, dress up as Aztec Indians and dance in front of the pickup truck carrying the Virgin behind?
That sounds good to me. As a matter of fact, if you have not seen the latest apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Salt Lake City, please, again, pay your respects. We're in the middle of a wonderful, incredible place.
What about music, Momo? You know? I got it late. Do you have any music?
Well, we had some there in Plan 10,
well, yeah.
For instance, Music Momo.
Oh,
let me tell you what Music Momo would not be. It would not be Kurt Bester. Think as far different as you can think of Kurt Bester. As far away from him as possible, that would be Momo music.
Spaces between
the notes. Whew, yeah. Industrial is good. Yeah, industrial is very good. Yeah. You know Throbbing Gristle?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very good. They're definitely Momo of the British kind, you know, 70s, 80s.
Marie singing or reciting the Dada poem.
Yeah, I know. I don't make things up.
Did you say this?
Of course.
Did you replay it?
Well, yes, on television. That's where I saw it. After I was with her just 2 days earlier in the stands in a baseball game. That's Momo. Yeah, of course. Of course. It was great. I mean, to hear it, you know, and I'm saying, this is Marie. I love the woman now. I don't care all the dolls. She could sell all the dolls she wants. I'm serious. That one act alone, you see, that one act alone redeemed her. She is saved, basically. Seriously. She's going to heaven when she dies for that one act alone. Yeah. Yeah, that was incredible. Yeah.
She was so incensed that they thought that she was too stupid to do the whole poem. She memorized the whole thing and gave it with great defiance. And
yeah, it was great. It was great.
Was it?
A Dada poem by Hugo Ball. Look up Hugo Ball, B-A-L-L, H-U-G-O. Hugo Ball was one of the founders of Dada. 1916.
Yeah.
I know.
It is,
oh, absolutely. Yeah, I have a poem where I mention her reading the poem. You know, because it was such a...
Yeah. Lay it on us.
Oh, you weren't here either?
You were here. You get it.
Excuse me.
Oh. Where was I?
Maybe I ought to do this.
Do it again.
My goodness, I sit in the stand with Marie Osmond. Both our sons are in the same little league team. I overhear her saying goodbye to some ladies. It's so nice to meet my neighbors. It's been real. I think of the time I heard her reading a Dada poem by Hugo Ball on TV. Any other questions, reactions?
Well, I think your poetry is really great. You don't think that all your poetry isn't Momo.
I try. Okay, I try. I try. Yeah. Oh, Momo could be very beautiful. But there's always that edge. You're saying without that edge. You know? I don't know. We're usually all around. You understand? It's not something... I mean, this is... Like I said, it goes back to Paleolithic times, you know? We're talking about, you know, to the caves. It's always been, you know, all constant. It is the constant. Oh, I have one coming out. Yeah, in about another week or so. I'm very serious, of course. There are 18 things that I, under no circumstance whatsoever, ever kid around about. I never kid around about. And one of them is Momo.
So
if I'm telling you there's a Momo
t-shirt. Show a picture of the Salt Lake temple in the shadow of this great big white thing?
That would be too obvious now, you know? Yeah, I'll show it to you when it comes out.
When you stand in a certain place, you do have horns with that picture behind you.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Keep that position. Right there.
Yeah, my hair is when it's blowing in the wind. See, right now my hair is at a very crucial stage. If I let it grow another half an inch, it's on its own. Seriously. This is when I get my bi-yearly, my annual haircut. You know, but if I let it grow like just another half inch, it begins to have its own rules and regulations, and then it cannot be touched. I mean, it gets...
You share some of your background as a Mormon, Mormon.
Some of my background as a Mormon?
Yeah.
Yes. I've had a love and hate relationship with these terms. At first I was a Mormon, and then I discovered what Mormons were, and I wanted to be a Latter-day Saint. And then I discovered what Latter-day Saints were, and I wanted to be a Mormon. You know? Right now, I'm a Mormon. Yeah. I joined the church in Brooklyn in 1979. Yes, I carry my... I'm a temple recommend holder. I abide by all the rules and regulations. I love the church. As a matter of fact, I heard rumors that President Hinckley was homosexual. That there were rumors. Did you hear about that? I say he could be into S&M and leather, and I would still love the man and sustain him as a prophet of God. My love for him is unconditional. You see? That's how adamant and strong I feel about the whole thing. You know, I've raised five children in the church. Well, yes, actually. Yeah, my son's getting married in the temple on September 5th. Almost didn't make it. You know, we had a couple of, you know what I mean? You Mormons know what that's like. Come on, you know it better than I do. I see what I got the spirit of gathering in Brooklyn. That was the first thing. It says, why did you come over here? Well, I came here about 2 weeks after joining the church. We were in the church close to a year. Came over here, visited, and I said, you know, this is the place. I really did, and I believe that it is. And I really believe that it is. You know? And when I'm kidding and when I'm not, it doesn't matter. It really does not. You know? And so I came here
We sold everything. As soon as we got back, we basically sold everything within a month we were out here.
Do you consider in any sense that Momo is your profession?
I profess it.
Can you live by the income you get from
it? Well, you know, I could. I could. Yeah. Yeah, I think I could. Yeah. I think I could. Yeah. Whether I'd want to or not is a different question.
How long?
Oh, indefinitely.
Eating bread is very ancient.
Yeah. Eating bread, it's the oldest thing in the world. That, I mean, you know, we say in Sicily, you'd have to live like a bird. You know, I mean, but it can be done. You know, whether I want to or not, that's a different thing.
Well, I agree with your thing about weirdness. It's really hard to get kicked out anymore.
Oh, it's terrible.
You tell people you're Mormon, and they either it's like you politically, you know, gooey, icky, or it's just, oh, isn't that nice? Mormons are so nice. And I really do prefer the weird, you know, don't touch me.
Yeah, I discovered that diabetes runs in my family and that I'm sensitive to sugar. You know, and so I try to stay away from a lot of sugar-coated things because it just, you know, it just upsets my whole system. You know what I mean? And sitting through priesthood many times, even in priesthood, yeah, there's sugar there too.
I didn't know that.
Oh, trust me.
I'm going to steal that line.
you know the women do not have the monopoly on the sugar. You know the sugar-coated kind of things they pass around, you know? But that's where those terms in my mind back and forth, you know. Joseph Smith, for me, for instance, is one of the most consummate of Momos because he was a charlatan and a true prophet of God. Yes. That was a Momo experience that he had.
Oh,
that was pure Momo. You understand? He saw a salamander. He did. Yeah. You remember that sound? You know, and that's one of the things that attracted me to him and to who he is. You know, is the fact that those aspects can coexist within each one of us. They have to coexist. Otherwise, we're going to kill each other. You know? Otherwise, we're going to point fingers at people. You know? That whole thing that comes from the dualistic approach. And it is a dual. It comes down to a dual. You know? And I prefer to be like the, who was it, the anti-Nephi, anti-Lehi, Nephi, and Nephites. You know what I mean? And just kind of just be. They were anti-antis, is what they were. You know, that whole group there was a group of Momos, if I ever met one. All right.
Have you seen Angels in America?
No.
Oh,
no.
Golly, that's got some great.
Oh, all right.
It's a terrific.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
It's not, it's a wonderful play, and it has some great Mormon moments.
Good. Do you have other forms of music that you've created?
Oh, yeah.
Ones that
uh-huh. For sure. Other forms of poetry. I try to, highlight certain characteristics in some of the work, in paintings, in film, I forgot the radio show. Let's put on this really fast. How do you play this? This is an incredible radio show.
Johnson is charged with 4 felonies relating to the vandalism and 4 felonies relating to the drugs.
Carrier.
He stands
down
to lose
Southern
all
Utah,
his money,
that Burr
all
Trail
his land,
controversy.
And spend years in a penitentiary. I know Grant, and I know Bradshaw, his attorney. They're friends of mine, and I am partial, but what they've said is true. The people of Garfield County have been fighting the environmentalists for years, and they've been losing every battle except this one. They're going to pave the Burr Trail. It was in court for almost 2 years, and last November the judge said, "The Burr Trail is a Garfield County road. Therefore, the people of Garfield County can do with it what they want." In less than 24 hours, townspeople from Escalante and Tropic were down in the most environmentally sensitive area on the road with their own Caterpillar tractors doing what they call pioneering work, cutting the grade, widening the base, essentially cutting the road to ribbons. They were trying to do as much work as they could before the environmentalists appealed the court's decision. That night, somebody made a more direct appeal by pouring sand in the machinery, and of course, they busted Grant Johnson. They busted the notorious Grant Johnson and set his bail at $250,000 because they wanted to send a message to all environmentalists. You mess with us, we're really going to mess with you. They're pissed off. They're pissed off because their families have lived here for 100 years. They know the land, they respect the land, they see it slipping through their fingers because they don't own the land. 97% of Garfield County belongs to the federal government. It's public land. It's controlled by the National Park Service, the National Forest Service. Mainly, most of it is under the Bureau of Land Management. The Forest Service and the BLM can give leases for grazing, cutting timber, and mining minerals and fossil fuels. And up until recently, this was the common practice. But over the past couple of decades, public opinion has been changing towards leaving this land alone. This leaves the local people poor and jobless. You can't blame them for being mad at the environmentalists.
My name is Louise Liston, and at the present time I'm serving as one of Garfield County's commissioners.
Who do you see the environmentalists being? I mean, who are these people you call the environmentalists?
Well, they're people, actually, I shouldn't call them that. Lately, the people in our community and in the surrounding areas in southern Utah are beginning to call them exclusionists, because environmentalists doesn't really paint a true picture. We're all environmentalists. People of southern Utah have lived off of the land and know that we have to take care of the land in order to survive. And so we call ourselves environmentalists too, but the people who are being labeled the environmental groups or communities right now are people who are trying to lock up the lands and are trying to keep us, exclude us from going into areas that you can only backpack into, or such as the Burr Trail. If you're young and healthy and can go, why, they're wanting that land locked up for those people alone, for themselves alone, just a few to enjoy. And I think that's what upsets people more than anything. People from back in New York, or I don't know, you know, the eastern communities as well as all over the United States are coming into Garfield County and other places in Utah and the western United States and telling us how to live, what to do with our lives. And they just so much as say, hey, we want this land, and you can go someplace else.
That sounds a little similar to what the first white settlers must have said to the Indians.
Well, I really haven't faced that as somewhat. I felt like that was progress, and the way the Indians were living, theirs wasn't a way of life that could go forward. It was kind of a savage, barbaric type of living, and eventually they killed each other off. And they killed off the righteous portion, mm-hmm. and chose to live without divine guidance, mm-hmm. and in a savage way with human sacrifice and so on, which we believe, of course,
this is real.
Cost them their liberty.
Yeah, these things coexist in her head. You see, it's a coexistence of two very, very opposite and exclusionist kind of realities, but they coexist at peace in her head. You see, it's very interesting. Very interesting. You know? Anyway, I'm glad that I remember. That was a very important piece. Yeah. So Momo, even Momo has a dark side to it. Anyway, thank you for coming. Thank you very much. You know where the rest of the paintings are? Yeah, if you can get the rest of them.
I wouldn't have thought you could pull that off, because I've never seen you step out of character and produce stuff. But you did that, and it worked. It worked. I want you to meet my sister, Michael.
Oh, I didn't want to be introduced. I just wanted to get in. It's so nice that you are.
Oh, terrible. Thank you. You know, that's one of the nicest things people have ever said to me.
Well, it just blew right out of my Momo.
Oh, right.
Did you know that the new slogan of the Mormon Church is WNW, we are not weird?
Really?
Someone sent that to me on an email list that I'm on.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about.
Her name is Cherie Ellsworth. She lives in Estonia right now, but I guess circumstances have just taken her there. But
can you get the cap to this?
We're making up a song about that. We're not weird. We're as normal as our neighbors. We're not weird. It goes on and on.
You understand.
I think he got all the pictures back already because I didn't see them.